ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
I hope so. Is Bhagavan?
It's the gun.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 14 of the fifth canto.
Oh, it's 8. Okay, that's
8th chapter. The character of Bharat Maharaj, and the verse is number 21. It's a prose, so we don't repeat. Kshevalikayam mam mrsha samadhi namilik milita drisham prema samrambhena chikita chikita agatya prishat apurusha vishanagrena luthati. Translation. Alas, the small deer, while playing with me and seeing me feign meditation with closed eyes, would circumambulate me due to anger arising from love, and it would fearfully touch me with the points of its soft horns, which felt like drops of water. Purport. Now King Bharata considers his meditation false. While engaged in meditation, he was actually thinking of his deer, and he would feel great pleasure when the animal pricked him with the points of its horns. Feigning meditation, the king would actually think of the animal, and this was but a sign of his downfall. Again, the verse, alas, the small deer, while playing with me and seeing me feigning meditation with closed eyes, would circumambulate me due to anger arising from love, and it would fearfully touch me with the points of its soft horns, which felt like drops of water. Omagyanati mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuru militam minatasmai shri guruve namaha mukham karoti vachalam pangam langayati girim yat kripata dhammam dehi shri guru dinatarinam. Here Bharat Maharaj continues to express his disturbed emotions while thinking of the missing deer. So he was remembering now how when he was meditating, the deer would come, circumambulate him and push him with his horns, and he felt that like drops of water. So he was enjoying obviously the company of the deer, and actually his meditation became just a show. Actually, in the purport to this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Bharat Maharaj was pretending to meditate just to see what the deer will do. So he became so distracted that he even forgot the purpose of his devotional practice. So he was just sitting and feigning samadhi to see how the deer would react, and the deer would do this thing which caused the king all this remembrance with fondness of such events. So this is a good example of what can happen if we shift our focus of attention during our practice of devotional service. We may either unintentionally or even like he's doing in that case, on purpose, pretending to do devotional service or any of the limbs of the bhakti process. We may be sitting and chanting and outwardly maybe looking like a very absorbed and in samadhi, but inwardly be thinking of something else completely. Or as Prabhupada gave example one time, was saying, they are close to the deities, they serve the deities, but they think of the opposite sex. So we may see a very devotional doing arati, but actually thinking of us, of something for ourselves. That's the main point of the whole story. The problem with Bhad Maharaj was that he diverted his attention from Krishna, and now he tried to, he was so advanced, he was on the platform of Bhava, so that didn't happen by chance. Later on we'll see there is a discussion about why this happened, and there is a mention of karma involved, and Acharyas explained that this is not ordinary karma, it's prarabdha karma, manifested karma, but it's actually a semblance of karma, because it was specifically arranged by Krishna. It came in the form of deer, just for the purpose of increasing the love of his devotee. So Bharat Maharaj was very very elevated, but something was lacking. So Krishna tests us all the time, from the beginning till the end. Actually, there is no end of his tests. Of course, on the platform of Bhava, even if we fall down, that will be because of Krishna's arrangement, and Krishna will protect us. And in the case of Bharat Maharaj, that meant just a small delay of a few lifetimes. But in the platform of prema, that is not possible. So until we reach the platform of prema, where there is no fall down, we should know that this is always an option, that we become, our devotional service becomes diverted, and then we are delayed in our goal to attain Krishna and serve him personally. So there are many, many different reasons that could happen, and obviously Krishna made this arrangement. Also, Jiva Goswami mentioned that there could be some anartha, or rather aparada, or some offenses to devotees, that could be also the reason. So the desire of the Lord and the previous result of some aparada could cause that type of fall down. But in any case, Krishna is protecting such a type of devotees, and he is making the necessary arrangements. But this comes as a test that we have to show Krishna that any time, in any circumstances, our main goal is to please him and to serve him. That means we have our main identity as someone who is a servant and doing, using everything one has as a means to please Krishna. In other words, we are not identifying ourselves as controller and enjoyer. And if we have some tinges of this, Krishna will make the necessary arrangements. This will be eventually purified, and our attachment for him will increase much more. And so we see these examples of Bharat Maharaj, of King Chitraketu, and others who apparently fell because of some mistake they did, but then the next destination for them meant much more intense attraction for Krishna. So this is the example that unless we are 100% focused on Krishna and 100% developed our love, there is always this danger. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhura Kadambini that one can be, even if we are on the platform of Bhava, one can be stuck on that platform for many lifetimes if one identifies as someone who is very advanced and is a teacher of others. So that is some anartha that can keep us continuing being here and not reaching the last fruit of prema bhakti, where we will get the association of Krishna directly. So this we should keep always in mind that our main focus is Krishna, and we are the servants, we are not controlled and enjoyers. And that doesn't mean that whatever our situation is, we cannot connect it with Krishna. Because on the surface, one may consider that this is a story which shows how dangerous is one to become attached to something in this material world, and therefore we should, cut all the attachments, and either be animals, pet animals, or family members, or friends, or anything. We should not have any attachment to anything in this world. But this could become an extreme and come close to the Mayavaya concept, because we fail to enjoy, and therefore we try to reject everything. So, because that's an important consideration, that it's not the problem of the attachment, it's the problem that we're lacking attachment to Krishna. And this one point is very nicely illustrated in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the first part, when there is description of Narada Muni going to different devotees trying to find the best devotee or the most favored devotee who is favored by Krishna. So at one point he was praising Prahlad Maharaj as one of the best devotees, and Prahlad Maharaj directed him to Hanuman as someone who has got more favor from the Lord and was more dear. So he went to Hanuman, and the description was very interesting, how Hanuman was engaged in Kim Purusha Loka. He was engaged in serving the deity of Ramachandra, and he was so much in ecstasy. He was crying and singing, and other Gandharvas, they were singing also, and Hanuman was trembling. And Narada Muni approached from the sky, so seeing this scene, was also ecstatic and started singing the glories of Ramachandra. So Hanuman heard again someone else is glorifying my Lord. He jumped, so Narada Muni grabbed him by the neck. And Narada Muni started dancing in the air, and they were both dancing and crying, and Narada Muni was wiping the tears of Hanuman's face. So anyway, eventually they called Damsit, and then Hanuman was receiving prayers from Narada Muni, you are the greatest devotee. And at one point Hanuman said, no, how can you say that? He left me. He took everyone else, went back to Ayodhya, and he left me here. So, Sanatana Goswami writes with some kind of a slight mood of reproach to the Lord that he was left. But then he said, "But that was because of service, so I must be here and serve him." So he now again descended, my Lord, in the form of Krishna and Dvaraka, and he's showing his favor to the Pandavas. If you want to see the most favored devotee, that's where you should go, to Dvaraka. And then he started describing the glories of the Pandavas, how at one point he said they must have known some mystical mantra or something, so that they make the Lord to become so affectionate for them, so that he's doing even menial service for them, and longing for their association so much that he makes all these arrangements. And by describing, he became so ecstatic, and Narabuni also was ecstatic and jumping up and down and sitting and standing. And then at one point they said, why are we waiting and wasting our time? Let's just go to Dvaraka immediately and see the Pandavas and Krishna. And then they were just going, but Hanuman thought for a moment, said, the Lord's these types of pastimes are so sweet and intimate that, they bewildered even the great sages. So I may not come, because I may commit some offenses due to my, not understanding. And then besides, I am so attached to serving Lord Raghunath, and I have to continue be here and be available if he somehow wants me to do service. So you, Narada, go and see them. But, so here's the point, don't be bewildered. Because we, together with you, are celebrated as the best of the brahmacharis, lifelong celibates. And seemingly you will see those devotees engaged in and activities which are, for the materialists' view, they are, they have nothing to do with devotional service. They are surrounded by so much opulence that even King Indra would envy that. But still, they are much more advanced. They are Mahabhagavatas. And even they seem attached to each other. And then he mentions, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says in one verse, Napriya, he is not attached. They are all his family members, especially his brothers and his wife. They are, although they are very dear to him, he is very attached to them. He is not attached because of bodily connection. He is not attached to them because they bring him the fruit of the four goals of life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. No, he is attached because of their loving bond with Lord Krishna. So this type of attachment is there. And when one sees everything in connection with Krishna, there is no problem of being attached to others, devotees. So we may be fearful of having attachment for our family members and kids and like that. But if we see them in connection, that's a problem if we see them from the point of view of controller and enjoyer. If they are there for us to enjoy them and control them, that's the problem. That's the attachment we should cut. But that the way to do it is not by neglect. If we're in such a situation, we have to do our duties and take care, which involves definitely affection. But if even more advanced, if we see them as manifestation of Krishna's mercy and see their connection with Krishna, see them that we are serving Krishna through that situation and through fulfilling that duty in such a way that we are pleasing him, then there is no problem with that attachment. But that these are stages. So in the first stage, we have to see the connection as something that Krishna has given. For example, here Bharat Maharaj, he is reasoning in these verses: how could I leave this deer die? Obviously, I should. It was my dharma, my duty to save him. So he is right in that sense. After seeing the deer drowning, he cannot just sit and this will distract me. This is mine. I will just continue meditating. He had to save the deer. He had to take care. But in what way he could see the deer as what is attractive? What attracted him? It's very detailed described in the story. He was attracted by his frolicking and all this, the small animals or small children, they have this special attractiveness and cuteness. So this cuteness or this, the dearness of the potency which attracts is Krishna. So if one sees it, then he makes the connection. Yes, that's Krishna, and there will be no distraction. The meditation will continue. There will be no reverse like what he did. He just reversed the focus. He, instead of meditating on Krishna and from time to time seeing the deer is okay, he started meditating on the deer and from time to time remembering that he was supposed to meditate, but his devotional service lacked so much. And the further step would be that he would see that as a special arrangement from Krishna, that not just in personal potency on the Lord, but that the Lord made arrangement just because of his for his advancement. And further on, one would see the direct, this would be a direct reminder of him for Krishna. And it will be like Udipana, like something which will cause his remembrance and his love for Krishna to intensify. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu many times had showed this as example. Once he saw a prince, a young boy, who was bluish and very beautiful. So he was immediately reminded of Krishna and he fainted out of ecstasy. This happened also with Shiva Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He also saw one, a young boy, very beautiful, and then he fell in ecstasy because of that. So, and then one may see anything which would remind him of Krishna, even a deer or any animal. One can by seeing the deer, one can remember how, you know, Krishna is dealing with deer. Like Prabhupada once was saying that Krishna, he's not embracing only the gopis, he's embracing everyone in Vrindavana. So he once sits on a rock, and then a deer comes, a small deer, and, you know, pushes him with his horn. So it's the same thing, you know, but instead of thinking, oh, he's so soft and he pushes me, and how, instead of that meditation from the point of view of enjoying, it's like reminds you, yes, Krishna, the deer pushes Krishna like that, and Krishna embraces the deer, and that invokes remembrance of Krishna and emotions about Krishna and love of Krishna to come. So any situation is not a problematic. It's not the form, it's not the circumstance. That's why it said Krishna consciousness is something which is completely independent of anything. It doesn't matter who we are, where we are, what we are doing. The question is, where is our attention, where is our focus, what is our mood? The lesson is, while we're doing our whatever activities, either direct devotion or service or activities connected with our occupation, we should always try to connect them and have the mood of doing them for the pleasure of Krishna. And the more we put our value as the pleasure of Krishna as our most important thing, the more easy it will become, the more natural it will become for us to remember Krishna. But if we don't have that natural love, then at least we can make the connection through Sambandha Gyan. We can see, and we can be reminded of, yes, I'm doing this because of Krishna. He put me in, like Prabhupada says, Krishna put me in that circumstances, so I should continue doing my duty, but for the sake of Krishna, remembering him. So we see where is our, if Krishna is not our main value, and that means our attachment and our affections will be not there. So we see our values are, where our affections are directed. We have to see that direction and try to connect that. And eventually, making this connection with Krishna, Krishna himself will become that object of affection. He will become the most valuable for us, and then it won't be so difficult to remember. But still, we have to be careful, because if Krishna may present us with different true Maya, with different tests, just to see how much we want him. So there is no limit to that desire. He wants that we want him unlimitedly. So we cannot do anything unlimited, but at least there is no end to our, we should always increase more and more and more. And when that becomes to the a very intensified stage, then he desires us, you know. Before that is we who, he always wants us, of course, but unless we become on the platform of Prema Bhakti, he is not personally interested so much in having exchanges. You know, he'll take care of everything, he will make arrangements that we're advancing. But as long as we're keeping some other interest there and something is on the side, yes, I like to serve Krishna and I like devotional service, but still, you know, I have other things which are important. Besides him, then he'll take care of everything, but he will not personally reciprocate directly with us. So when we become intensely longing for him, then he also starts to desire our association so much, so that he nullifies all karma, even in one purport. I think Vishwanath Chakravarti or Baladev says that If Krishna becomes so much eager and attached to have the devotee, immediately he may because the only thing which remains is the prarabdha karma for such a devotee on the bhava platform, which means the manifestation of the present body. So that Krishna keeps until the time comes that you leave it and that's it, or arranges it in such a way like here with Kim Bharat that increases the affection eventually for Krishna. But in some cases, if Krishna becomes too impatient, then he may even take away the prarabdha karma, which means he just takes away the body. You leave the body prematurely and go to him. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Are there any comments? Yeah. We? Yeah, because we are limited. We are unlimitedly small. We are small, so one, we can do anything unlimited. I just express that we have to increasingly increase our desire for Krishna without end. That's what I meant by unlimited. Or it's not that our desire will become unlimited. Only Krishna has unlimited desires. That's what I meant. Okay. Or you think we can do unlimited things? It's eternal but limited. Anything else? Yep. Yeah, that's natural. We don't become from non-devotees suddenly pure analog devotees. We go through stages, and these stages are called Mishra Bhakti. We have some attachment for Krishna and some attachment for other things. So that's a percentage, you know. First, we may be interested in Krishna 1% and 99% for other things. And when we become 99% attached for Krishna and 1% for other things, that's bhava. But that means still that 1% is the danger. And if we're like 50-50%, that's kind of the niche that we're situated. So there's still other things, and there's still mishra, there's mixture. And how you should behave, you just continue the process, but the most important thing is you have to put yourself in a situation where there is a chance that you get corrected if you get astray. So the mistake of Bharat Maharaj was that he was alone, so nobody could help him. And that's the problem. But if we're in an association of devotees, especially more advanced devotees, or at least equal, then there is very little chance that this can happen, because they will immediately point to us. This is a problem. You're starting to become too attached. I'm saying more advanced or equal, because that's, then you'll accept. Otherwise, if they're junior, then or either they might think, oh, these are divine pastimes of that devotee, and will not see it as a mistake, or they may even point a mistake, but you wouldn't consider them because they are just, who are they anyway? So. That's a very important lesson here of the whole story, that the association of devotees. It's anyway, it's all about association. First of all, we get bhakti through association, we advanced in a secure environment in the association, and we get prema by the mercy of devotees. We cannot get it otherwise. We get it from the prema bhaktas. So, in the answer to your question, what should you do? You know, hang around with advanced devotees and beg them for mercy. And serve them. That's the way that you ask for the mercy. Please them. And then it becomes very easy. It was a parada, yeah. It was a parada which Jiva Goswami mentions. And Vishwanath Chakravarti, of course, says it's the semblance of prarabdha karma, which is the desire of the Lord to increase his attachment. Jiva Goswami just says aparada to devotees in some previous time, or the cause of it. So both, like in Jaya Vijaya's case, the same reason. Is it the desire of the Lord and of the Lord and the external reason of them committing aparada to the Kumaras? Yeah. Yeah. Do you know the opium? Once, I think, I forgot his name. One disciple of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Maharaj asked him, he expressed his doubt that he will ever achieve that goal because it's so sublime and high of prema. I think it's Sundarananda Prabhu. And then Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati quoted the verse from first canto. Which canto was that? The verse where it is said that there is no if you do devotional service, and it's only will bring you benefit, and if you even perfect your prescribed duties or you do your varnashram perfectly, what is the gain if you are not devoted? So we should be discouraged in that way, that whatever you do in devotional service, that's a permanent asset. And Prabhupada said, it's a drop, one after another, will become at one point. How did he say? He said, one drop after another, and at one point you will see Krishna face to face and talk to him. And then he gave the example of the friends of Krishna who did pious activities, devotional pious activities for millions of lifetimes to attain that. So it's not that easy. No, that goal of prema bhakti is not that easy. We see also most those examples of sadhaka siddhas who joined Krishna in Balmalila. There were some extremely qualified and did practice of devotion of service for many, many lifetimes. The sages, who prayed to Lord Ramachandra, and many others, and it mentions about the friends of Krishna, not the Nitya Siddhas, but those who joined, also about the gopis, different categories, and one of them, in Padma Purana there is a whole list of different sages, and when you read that, one of them was called Ugra Tapas. He was doing ugra tapasya, extreme austerities by meditating on Radha Krishna for, I don't remember, at least 60 or maybe more than 100,000 years. And then he was born eventually as a daughter of the gopis in Raja. So, and then many other sages like that who did extreme austerities. And so the goal is a very high, and Krishna, you can get there in that association if you are absolutely pure. But at the same time, it's very simple. It's just very simple that we shift our perspective, not being enjoyer and a controller, and be the servant of Krishna. And if we see that everything in that perspective, then we are already we were putting our foot on the goal, and it's just a question of time. And depending on the intensity we are practicing, is the question how long that time will be. But the point is to keep that perspective there, and do everything with that perspective. So in the answering the question of how to not be duplicity. That's the point. You acknowledge your position. Yes, I am. First of all, you identify as a servant. You're not the controller and enjoyer. And second of all, even if you have other attachments than Krishna, you acknowledge them. And this is my position. You're not making a show bottle service. You're not pretending to be someone who you are not. Like, you know, pretending to be advanced devotee and feigning, you know, advanced symptoms or something like that. Or trying to put yourself in a position that others will acknowledge your. So this is what it means. You know, you're honest with yourself and with the others, and you humbly continue practicing, and have hope against hope. Like Prabhupada says that Krishna will give his mercy, and he's giving his mercy, and we should be, you know, we should be 100% sure that the result will come. Just like this verse from Bhagavatam is that one who accepts everything as Krishna's mercy, that's his rightful claim at the end, that Krishna will give him his grace. So, you know, see things in the proper perspective, acknowledge your position and work from there. You know, anyone starts from somewhere and works. You know, it may be difficult because for some, we are all at different stages and we have all different conditioning and different anarthas. And for someone, sometimes you see a devotee very sincere, practicing very strictly, but cannot give up a simple habit, for example, of smoking or something like that, and struggle for a long time. And if you think of yourself or someone else like, well, I never had that problem. I never smoked in this life. Or I smoked a little bit, but I just gave it up like nothing. But for someone else, it's like, you know, years after years and cannot. So why is that? You know, so you cannot just switch from a chain smoker to a non-smoker like that. It's a conditioning. It's something which goes deep, and it requires time. But that time, it comes with devotional practice, where I give, you know, you have the knowledge and renunciation comes. It's just a question of realization, and that realization comes with practice. First you understand it, sambandha, then you do prayojan, you practice it, and then you have the goal, the result will come. So different things will be our attachment. They will come again and again. They can haunt us. And you know, once a devotee wrote to Prabhupada, how can I? I'm a brahmachari. I want to get rid myself of sex desire, but I'm discouraged. I cannot. What shall I do? And Prabhupada said, because of your birth, you will not be able to get rid of that desire. Because of your low birth, that's what it means. Until the end of your life, you will be troubled by this. But if you strictly follow and practice the devotional process, you will not be required. You will not need to act on it physically and get entangled. So different degrees. You know, we may have different conditioning and. We have to acknowledge that, yes, I'm attached to this and that. But then again, as I said, try to connect that situation to Krishna and use it for service. You know, instead of, you know, seeing your family, your children, your situation, you don't see them as, oh, this is my home, this is my fortress for enjoyment, you know. I create that field so that I can enjoy. No, this is the field Krishna is giving me. I work for it, but it's his place. It's his house, and then it becomes Goloka. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. A place where you worship Krishna and you see it as a place, as a Krishna is the Lord and enjoyer, then it turns to Goloka. So you're not enjoying. Then you see your close family members also as Krishna's servants, and even if you're attached to them, you train your child to be a devotee, then that's a service that reminds you of Krishna. And like that, you do your duty also. Well, that duty is because Krishna will be pleased if I do it perfectly, because I follow. That's what he says in the Gita. You do your duty perfectly, you will please me. While you engage in your duty, remember me. And then gradually, you know, the percentage changes. So... Yeah, sometimes it's not the problem with, sometimes I've heard divorces after some years. Well, it is not working, the process is not working. Because they expect some immediate result. But it's not it's not a question of number of years, it's a question again of the intensity of surrender. So if we're gradually doing it, the result will come gradually. But it's not that the process is not working, it's how much we apply our heart to it. That's how we should see it, I think. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.